You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. If you came of age in the 60s or 70s, the blues group Hot Tuna probably needs no introduction and you already recognize that music. But here's a little bit more. Hot Tuna will be in Sacramento at the Crest Theater Tuesday, September 4th. Bass player Jack Cassidy and guitarist Jorma Kaukonen have been performing together for more than five decades in both Hot Tuna and as founding members of Jefferson Airplane. You're going to hear some of a conversation that Donna Appadoni had with Jack Cassidy back in 2015. She asked which song has the most meaning for Jack.
I think I've got to say that probably the Raymond Gary Davis, The Search My Heart, is one that will always go to me. Jorma is really conscious about our material always being relevant and timeless. So we strive for that so that we're not just playing somebody's song from their high school reunion, so to speak. You know, we like to choose the kind of material that doesn't capture us just in a time zone. You know, that is good for you for people of all ages and thought-provoking and something to reach deep down inside.
Reverend Gary Davis's music is something that a lot of people got to know because of Hot Tuna. A lot of people would have missed out on that altogether if it weren't for you and Jorma.
It was pretty interesting. When we started doing that kind of material, it had never been done with like a bass and guitar combo. I mean, Jorma is a complete musician, in that he can sit down and play with the thumb and two fingers in that Piedmont style and finger picking style, sing it, and you hear everything. You hear the bass lines going, you hear rhythm going, you hear partial harmonies, you hear melody. It's all going on. But we had never really worked that kind of material into with other musicians. So when he and I started doing that for fun. And just as you know, spending a lot of time together back in the early days in between the airplane stuff, we found that we created kind of a different presentation of the material. And then, of course, as Jorma started to write a lot more material on his own, we started to develop an approach with the two instruments like that. And then later on, there was various incarnations of electric versions of things that we've done with drums and other instruments. So it's fun to move between the two genres.
And after all these years, at least musically, you must be able to read each other's minds.
Well, we hardly do that. The reality is, when we're on stage playing, we're just as tweaked and ready to go as 50 years ago. It doesn't change your reality on stage. It's kind of like a fighter in the ring that night. You know, can't duck the punch of the night before. You know, you're in that moment. That night on stage is really the unique moment for that night. And you're just, if anything, you've got to be more alert than ever. And you've got, the key is in listening and playing to the atmosphere that is in front of you and part of you and part of that particular uniqueness to the evening.
And I had never thought of it before I heard you explain in an interview that you are one step ahead and one step behind. You're responding in a way to what Jorma plays, and yet you're predicting in a way what might come next. It is not. It is in the moment. It's not. It's rehearsed, and yet it's very much alive and vibrant right then.
I think that's the key. You can. You have that left brain, right brain going on. That's exactly how you put it. You're listening to what is going on. You know that there's the parameters of the structure and the chord changes and all that sort of thing. At the same time, it has its unique fitting for that night. You have to make those adjustments for all kinds of parameters that night and in that moment, in that sonic moment of the communication between you two.
You're on the short list of people who are considered great bassists. And by comparison, I think people might be surprised if they listen very closely to what you play, because at least at this stage, it's not a hard driving baseline. You're not competing, you're not trying, but it's very melodic. It's very sweet. It's very simple. What has been the evolution of that?
In the creative atmosphere of 1965 to 72, we really gave everybody everything. And I, as a matter of fact, about a month ago, I gave Grace a call because she lives in, I live in Los Angeles. She does too. And I visit her from time to time. And I said, hey, Grace, you know, I just want to thank you for giving me such great songs to work with. I said, I've been listening to all this stuff. And, you know, she never crimped my artistic bent. You know, I would really go for some pretty nutty stuff in her songs. And she told me she loved it. You know, we talked for about an hour about that sort of creative process that we had back then. It was so essential for both of us. And, you know, she knew that she would have people that, like Yoram and I, that would just work on our songs to really make them as unique as we could, you know. And she would provide us with some really interesting material.
It's fun to hear that you enjoy that experience as much as you did and that you can listen back now, years later, and still enjoy it.
Well, I went through periods of sort of not many years ago, and it was sort of just, it was, you know, I don't know, it's kind of like old love affairs, you know, both painful to revisit and emotional and all of that stuff. But I think enough water's gone under the bridge now so we can let loose and just take it as it is, you know.
There was an early understanding on your part, I understand, of classical music. And it sort of sounds now with some of the more recent work that you've done with Yoram and with others. Maybe is some of that coming back and playing in a little bit more?
Oh, absolutely. I've always been fascinated by the orchestration of pieces and the way great orchestrators and great writers not only move the melody lines throughout the whole orchestra, but also frame the sections of the orchestra and the underpinnings of it in order to direct your attention to various parts of the music. And I think that's what I try to do within when I'm structuring and working out a piece of music. I try to drift up above it and see where the whole piece is going and to see if I can nudge it in a few different directions and frame it and give it some substance. And that's always my goal, you know. When I was a kid, I'd go down to Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C., and hear all the great orchestras. And I love ballet music. I'd hear a lot of Prokofiev and watch the music being put to movement. And it's interesting because my nephew, Ian Cassidy, my younger brother, Michael Cassidy's son, is the principal lead ballet dancer of the Houston Ballet. He's in his, I guess he's getting up towards his mid-30s now. But it's interesting that he's in that very element that I used to be fascinated and still am fascinated about, that mixture of music to dance and dance to music. So I'd physically see the movement, you know, and that's somehow I'd want to put that into my playing, you know.
That was Jack Cassidy talking with Donna Appadoni back in 2015. Hot Tuna with Jack Cassidy and Yorma Kaukonen will be at the Crest Theater September 4th, and we posted a link for ticket information at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. Insight's senior producer is Jen Picard. Our producers are Cody Drabble and Bert Johnson. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Let's close the show with more memories and more music, and we'll be back with another live program tomorrow.